very soothing, isn't it?
Yes, it's Bill and Wendy. It's WNUA. We hope you have a soothing week.
You got to talk like this. You got to talk like Charlie Wojcicki.
I can't talk that way.
You have to be quiet. All our next guest is saying is give his musical piece a chance, a chance to take down ISIS. We've got a man on the line, James Twyman. How are you, James?
I'm very good, thank you.
All right, that was very soothing,
extremely
wonderful music.
Extremely soothing, James. Very soothing.
Well, thank you. We didn't get to the words in the song, but I'm glad the beginning is soothing.
Yeah, it was a long intro. I didn't know if there were lyrics coming up, but now James Twyman is a New York Times bestselling author. You're a musician, obviously, a filmmaker, inspirational speaker. You're based out of Oregon, and we are now to refer to you as the Troubadour of Peace.
Yes, and you should add that I'm from Chicago.
Oh, cool.
Well, that's cool.
Nice bonus.
When did you leave here?
I left there, oh goodness, I think when I was 32, so 20 years ago. But I went to Loyola and lived in Chicago for many years. And when people ask where I'm from, I always say Chicago.
Nice. You're missing a heat wave right now, James. It's so hot here. I can't stand how hot it is.
All right. So 20 years ago when you left Chicago, the world has changed dramatically in those 20 years. And I'm sorry, never heard of ISIS before. And now that's all we hear. And it's your plan, if I get this right, to take your music and serenade ISIS members and get them to stop terrorizing us?
I would say yes and no. People have the image of me walking into an ISIS-held village with a guitar on my back, and I would not say that is exactly accurate because I'm not completely crazy. I'll begin.
Good to know.
I'll begin by saying that I've done this a number of times where I've gone into countries where wars have raged, from Bosnia to Iraq to many others. And the most important part of it is not so much what I'm doing on the ground, but the fact that there are hundreds of thousands of people behind me, hundreds of thousands of people who have stopped what they're doing in that moment and chosen to send their prayers of peace to that particular situation. And what we have found is that inevitably something shifts. It's actually been scientifically proven now that when massive numbers of people do stop and offer their energy, their prayers, or whatever you want to call them, it does have the power to change things. So yes, I am going to be actually overlooking several Syrian villages. I'll be with a group of Muslim and Christian and Jewish leaders doing this small concert. But we will be within sight of these ISIS villages. But the most important thing is that there will be hundreds of thousands of people all over the world who are focusing in with us.
And are you going to be streaming this so we can do it from the safe confines of our own living room?
Well, we don't know yet because the place where we're going to be and the exact time at the moment is secret. I mean, we do have some security measures in place. More than likely, we are going to be outside, and it may be difficult to stream it, but we may be able to find some way to do that. So we're working on the logistics now, but whether we do or not, what we're asking people to do at that time, which it will be on February 1st, by the way, we're asking people to simply stop what they're doing for 10 or 15 minutes and just focus in a positive way on what is happening there in that region. And when I say positive, I mean that because obviously so many of us, we feel helpless. We feel like there's nothing that we can do. Also, many of us feel that the situation with almost every Muslim is so dire. I have literally received dozens of death threats since initiating this whole thing, but not from Muslims and Islamic extremists, from very ordinary people who are so completely against doing anything that is a positive outreach to these people. And for me, that this vigil is as much for us as it is for them, to help melt the hearts of the average person here in the United States or around the world who still believes that we should eradicate Islam which is just, you know, it's crazy, but still many people think that. So it's amazing the energy that this vigil has been getting. And I think it's because the ISIS situation is so complicated that we're looking for unusual solutions.
James, go back to the death threats for just a little bit. What are they saying? How are you receiving them? Are you getting emails or people stopping by the house? What are they doing to let you know? What are they doing?
Mainly through Facebook.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've been letting people know about the vigil through Facebook, clearly. And so there have been dozens of people who have been saying that, you know, they're vehemently against this, with very vivid details of what they would like to do or what they hope ISIS will do.
Right.
And what they believe to be the proper attitude against Islam. And what I want to remind them, first of all, these are people who claim to be Christian. And one of the primary messages of Jesus is love your neighbor and do good to those who hate you. That's the path that, you know, that Jesus, you know, took himself.
So this will not deter you. You're not afraid of these death threats. You have a plan, and you're going to stick to the plan. All right.
Well, we do have a plan, and obviously we're going to be as safe as possible. As I said, we're going to be I'm really honored, actually, that this group of Islamic and Christian and Jewish leaders want to come with me. So we're going to keep as safe as possible. I just became a grandparent about 8 months ago.
Congratulations. So
thank you very much. And, you know, one thing that I should mention is a lot of what is going on here does have a link to Chicago, because when I lived in Chicago, I was married. My daughter now is 30. And 10 years ago, my wife, who was living in Evanston at the time, was murdered. She was murdered on Thanksgiving, so just over 10 years ago now. And at that time, I had been going to many of these places like Iraq and Bosnia and many other countries, and my daughter asked me to stop. Clearly,
she was worried. She was worried that she lost her mom. She didn't want to lose her dad, too.
And I agreed to that, understandably. And yet, just a few weeks ago on Thanksgiving, when it was the 10th anniversary of Linda's death, I almost felt as if Linda had a hand in this. It was almost as if she thinking about her inspired me further to do this. And I talked to my daughter, and she agreed, as long as I was staying as safe as humanly possible, that she would be okay with that. But it was interesting how it kind of came full circle with what happened with Linda there in Evanston.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that you never know what's going to happen. I mean, one day a loved one is with you, the next day they're not. But I believe that this is a time for us to have courage, and especially in the helpless situation that we feel with what's going on in the Middle East, this is such a small thing. But if people do stop for that 10 or 15 minutes, knowing that there are hundreds of thousands of people who are with them, at least it gives us the feeling that we're contributing in a positive way.
All right. Now, we are talking to James Twyman. He is putting together what he is calling the largest peace prayer vigil in history. Your Facebook page, or do we go to your website to find out when this is going to happen on February 1st?
The best thing would be to go to jamestwyman.com, and then there's a place you can register, and that just allows us to be able to send out an email the day before. So on the 31st of January, we'll send out an email with the exact time, where we're going to be, all of that. So that helps us to really gather the tribe. So just go to jamestwyman.com and get more information. And of course, Facebook, you could also find me on, and we really hope everyone will join us, especially everyone there in Chicago.
James, are you okay on time? We've got more questions for you, but that depends your availability. Okay, good. More with James Twyman in just a little bit. Stick around. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
In the name of Allah, the merciful and the great. Praise be to the Lord of all.
You're listening to the mellifluous tones and the wonderful lyrics of James Twyman. And James is a best-selling author, a musician, filmmaker, inspirational speaker. You're now based out of Oregon. You're known as the Troubadour of Peace. My question to you, as you're getting ready for the largest peace prayer vigil in history in a part of Syria, that I think is the problem. People have their own God, whether it be Jesus or Allah or whatever, and you're going to sing about this and hope the positive vibes maybe, I don't know, maybe ISIS will not. I'm thinking they're going to just come right after you.
I hope not. What do you
think? I mean, aren't you scared of that?
Well, I can't say that I'm frightened. I would say that I'm concerned for our safety, and we're going to do everything we possibly can to remain safe. But the important thing to remember is that the foundation of every religion is peace. And whether you're praying to Allah or to Yahweh or to God, it doesn't really matter because, first of all three of those religions, we're all cousins. We're all from the Abrahamic tradition. And so to sing the peace prayers, for example, that was the Muslim peace prayer that we were just listening to. It reminds us of the foundation of who we are. Now, every religion, whether it be Christian, you know, Judaism or Islam, has extremists. Every religion has people who try to use their religion to force their own agenda, which is not what that religion is about. We see that just as much with Christians as we do with anyone else. Unfortunately, it is endemic with Islam right now. But I think that the path to something more clear is not, there's no real political solution that's going to get us there. There's certainly no military solution. That makes it worse, as we see in Syria and in Iraq. I think that the only real solution would be what I would call a spiritual solution, which means that people... like all of us who do, you know, have a true foundation, what these spiritual paths are all about, assert them in some way. So for me to go there to do this concert within eyesight of these villages is an important part of that, because there'll be hundreds of thousands of people who are focusing their prayers of peace at the same time. This is to empower people, really. I'm certainly not expecting to go and sing a few peace prayers and for ISIS to lay down their weapons. But I do believe that it could be the beginning of an energetic shift if enough people get involved and support this by being with us on February 1. It certainly doesn't hurt, but if it gives people the feeling that they're doing something positive, it could help very much.
James, you must in some way have to clear this through the government, the U.S. government. What does the State Department think about what you're doing?
They're urging you not to go, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I've received a couple of phone calls from the State Department. I mean, clearly going, you know, very far into Syria is very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
But we've actually been working with the State Department to find a way to do this the safest possible. There's no way that they can stop me, clearly. But I assured them that I have no intention of putting my safety too dramatically at risk. But and they were happy to hear that. But we're doing our best to honor what, you know, the advice that they're giving us, at the same time fulfilling what we believe to be the mission.
And I believe, according to Associated Press, the U.S. State Department have stated that, quote, no part of Syria should be considered safe from violence. And they've
That's
warned
right.
American travelers of the threats of kidnapping and murder at the hands of terrorists in the region. Yet James Twyman is going there on February 1st. You can follow him on his website, jamestwyman.com. TWYMAN.com. You had mentioned you were originally from Chicago, and your wife Linda had been murdered in Evanston in 2005. Have they found anyone? Is this still unsolved?
No. Yes, it remains an unsolved crime, which, you know, it's very frustrating. I mean, we all know the challenges that all Chicagoans have faced in, especially the last, you know, since then, especially. And as I said before, a tragedy like that, it puts it puts my life and all of our lives into a strange perspective. It teaches us the value of honoring the people that we love, because we never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Linda is someone, you know, I thought she was always going to be in my life. My daughter felt the same, and suddenly one day that changed. And as I said before, my daughter asked that I not go to so many war zones because she didn't want her father to leave. And I certainly have taken that for the last 10 years, especially, in deep consideration. But we've discussed it, and she feels as strong, well, not as strong as I do, but certainly she trusts me in this, and she's behind me. And I know that in some way Linda is behind this as well.
And is that when this troubadour of peace kicked into full effect with you, James, after Linda's death?
No, it was quite some time before that. It was in the first time I ever traveled to a war zone was in 1995. So 10 years before that, I went to Bosnia and Croatia. What had happened was a friend of mine had given me a sheet of paper that had the peace prayers from the 12 major religions. And as I read each one, I just heard this music, and I was able to put all 12 prayers to music in 1 hour. And I felt, you know, people were calling me the peace troubadour. I felt that a peace troubadour should be willing to go to where peace was needed. And at that time, that was in the Balkan region. So I got myself invited and performed the concert in refugee camps and theaters in Sarajevo and many places.
And now your mission is calling you to Syria. Please be safe.
I certainly will. I intend to make it back to Chicago one day very soon. So I will be safe so I can do that.
And let us know how it goes. It's the largest peace prayer vigil in history. His name is James Twyman. And go to his website, jamestwyman.com, T-W-Y-M-A-N. And on February 1st, let's all take 10 to 15 minutes, because you're right. We are sitting here at home in Chicago helpless as to what's going on there. And if we could all put positive vibes and prayer in full force, who knows? Who knows what will work?
Well, I appreciate you helping to get the word out. And hopefully we can chat again very soon.
We hope so, James. Thanks. Be safe.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. That's James Twyman. His website is his name, James, spelled the traditional way, and then T-W-Y-M-A-N, jamestwyman.com. We'll find out what Steve has next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.